As I thought about renewed, there's a lot of words, and I actually began about 3 months ago or so working on a new devotional book. Originally, it was going to be called Revive Us Again, but I kept finding all of these re-words, revive, restore, renew, and throughout the Bible, there's all of these things that really deal with being put back to an original condition. When I was over in New Orleans cleaning up this past week, there was a gentleman that had a series of cars, but one of them out front was a 57 Thunderbird that was in really poor condition. And I thought, wow, if I would renew that, restore that, I would be willing to drive it. And they declined. But then one of them told me it was actually just a kit car and it was all fiberglass, but it still looked nice. Or at least it had the potential to look nice. If only it would be renewed, if it would be restored. And I think about your life and my life. We live in a time when heartache and trouble and disasters and chaos seems overwhelming. And we wonder, what would happen? At least I wonder, what would happen if every Christian, every believer in God would come to Him and find this renewal, this restoration, this being made as you were intended to be. That kind of is the goal as you recover from a hurricane. You would like things to be restored. You would like things to be renewed. You would like them to be at least as good as what they were before, if not better. But what if we go beyond the things and look at our own life? What would happen if we were to be renewed as an individual? If we were to be renewed as a neighborhood? If we were to be renewed as a church family? So it was exciting when I had the opportunity to kick off this series of Renewed. And Dave said he's going to spend a lot of time in the book of Acts and looking at the renewal that took place as people turned from, sometimes from worshiping themselves, sometimes from worshiping multiple gods, sometimes from a misunderstanding of who God was, and finding the true God. And so when I thought about that, I looked at what happened. And I have another message that I do, and I really didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I wanted to let you know where this is coming from. Because in the book of Acts, you have a small group of Christians gathered in fear at the beginning of the book. And they were there because Jesus told them to wait. But something happened between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and delivered that great message that 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And I think part of the key is in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." I want us this morning to consider what would happen if we were renewed as we pray. And most of my preaching, I use acrostic outlines because it helps me to remember it. And I always hope and pray that it helps you to remember it and to put it into practice beyond just hearing it today. And so we're going to use this acrostic of renewed as you pray. And pray is going to be our key word. One of my favorite verses is out of the book of Isaiah. And I'm probably going to mess this up because I'm going in a different order, but that's all right. I'm not used to using PowerPoint when I preach, and so to schedule it ahead of time is fascinating. But I love this verse, and most people look at this Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, And they tend to focus on verse 31, and it's a common verse. You've probably seen it on wall hangings and posters and things, that they who wait upon the Lord or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up like eagles. They will run and not become weary. But I like the first verse that leads into that. I like it because I'm getting older. And it says, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. I said, wow. It's not just me. It's not just the result of growing older. That everyone struggles. And as I look at that, it doesn't matter what your age is, how successful you feel you are in life, what types of chaos that you've endured. We all struggle. And then that great promise that those who put their hope in the Lord or wait upon the Lord are renewed. So I want to spend a lot of time in Colossians chapter 4. And that's kind of the key text that we're using this morning. Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Paul writes it, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I think there's four things in that passage that if we put into practice as we pray, as we spend time with God, that it can make a difference in not only our own renewal, but the renewal of our community, the renewal of our church body. And the first, and I'm going to skip the Philippians passage there, so we're going to look at it in these points rather than read the whole thing right now. But we learn to put our hope in the Lord and wait upon Him. It helps us to be renewed as we learn to pause. And I think sometimes that's a very difficult thing for us to do. At least for me, I see something and I want action. I want results. I want correction. I want something done. But to pause? Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. For me, I think to be watchful means that I have to stop and pay attention. I drove down week and a half ago or so, and there are parts of that 12-hour drive to New Orleans that I really don't remember a lot about. I was on the highway, my truck was on cruise control, my mind was kind of on cruise control. I really wasn't all that watchful because, well, I was preoccupied with a destination. And sometimes I believe when we pray, we forget to be watchful. We forget that pause that looks around us and begins to think, God, what is it that I'm seeing? At the end of the message, I have a homework assignment, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about being watchful in a greater way in your neighborhood. That you can not only be renewed yourself, but your neighborhood can be renewed as you pray. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 32 says, I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. Part of this idea of pausing is I learned something. And when you begin to pray by being watchful, by learning, it begins to change the way you see yourself, the way you see your neighborhood, the way you see your church. And so we become renewed as we pause. And we ask God to open our eyes to see things from His perspective. I'm pretty good at seeing things from my perspective. I kind of have this internal idea of the way things ought to be. And I can decide pretty quickly if that's right or if that's wrong according to me. But this pause is all about asking God, is it right or is it wrong according to you? That's the important thing as we seek to be renewed, is that we pause long enough to listen to God. I often talk when I teach about prayer, is that for many Christians, prayer is kind of like this phone call with God where we call Him up and He answers and we kind of unload on Him everything that's going on in our life. We may tell Him the things that we're thankful for. We probably spend a lot of time requesting things that we think we need, and we hang up. And in my mind, I'm always picturing God at the other end saying, wait a minute, I've got a response. I have some things I would have liked to have said about that. And the pause is all about taking the time to listen, to spend time in God's Word, listening as you pray. But not only do we learn to put our hope in the Lord, not only are we renewed as we pause, we are renewed as we request. Colossians 4, verse 3 and 4. The passage I read earlier. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. There is a place, and this is the part of prayer that most of us are most comfortable with, is request. But what is it that we're requesting? Paul is requesting that he would proclaim the gospel clearly, even as he is in chains, even as he is in suffering. And sometimes in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of chaos, our requests are more centered around, God, get me out of this. Rescue me. And what would happen in our own spirit, in our own life, if we prayed these prayers of renewal, God, make me a bolder witness for you. Even in the midst of the suffering that I'm enduring, in the midst of the shared suffering that our community is enduring. You see, our requests are all about following God and what He wants. The Philippians passage, Philippians 4, verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he goes on to say that the result of doing that is the peace that surpasses all understanding will be yours. And we become renewed as we learn to pause. We become renewed as we learn to request the things that make us a better witness for Jesus. But we also become renewed as we act. So many times we pray, we want God to do something, and He says, you're it. One of my mentors in teaching me often told me that if you're going to pray about something, be prepared for God to say, you're the answer. And it really changed the way that I began to think about prayer. In one of the Gospels, and I forget exactly which one at the moment, Jesus tells the disciples to pray and ask the Lord to send workers into the harvest field. The very next chapter, if I remember correctly, Jesus sends them out in pairs to go out and to preach the good news of the kingdom. He had asked them to pray that workers would be sent out, and then he says, you're it. And so many times when we want to be renewed. We spend that time with God. We pause, we request, and he says, okay, now do something. Dave mentioned the We Care ministry that I began a year ago. And it did. It began here in Lake Charles, and I was planning on coming down to help Ides with tree cleanup. I'm familiar with chainsaws. I've run those all my life, and I thought, I can do that. And I'd asked before I left, is there anything that they need, anything I can collect and bring down, food, water, whatever it is? And Ides kept saying, no, they have all kinds of that stuff. Everybody's sending that down there. He says, we don't need anything, just your chainsaws and your body and your work. About 2 days before I came down, I got a call from my agent and says, well, they could use diapers. And I said, well, I can do that. And so I went to the local Walmart and I bought basically everything they had on the shelves and loaded up my truck and came down the first week that I came and had them out here, and people were able to make use of them. And came in on a Sunday. Tuesday, I was out here eating lunch, and a young man came up and says, I'm looking for diapers. Do you have diapers? And then, well, yes, we have diapers. And they looked, and they were gone. The pickup truckload that I brought down had all been distributed, and there weren't any. And the first week that I was down, we were staying over in Orange, Texas, because of the whole asbestos thing here and all of that. And so the Saturday morning, as I was ready to head home, and I'd been praying and talking with God, and it just kept hearing in my mind, you can do more. Can do more what? Do I need to stay longer? Do I need to cut more trees? What is it? And it finally came as I prayed, as I listened, as I spent time in God's Word, it was more diapers. And so I went to the Walmarts in Orange, Texas, and areas over there that were still open and had supplies, and I dropped more diapers off back here at the church before I went back to Indiana. And all the way home, I kept hearing that same phrase, you can do more. And that's how We Care Relief Ministry began, as a part of Impact Prayer Ministry. It was that prayer time, and God says, it's time to act, it's time to do something. And so I simply put out the plea when I got home. Says, if you're willing to donate, I'm stockpiling diapers, so whenever the next disaster is, I'm ready. And people responded and came back down after Delta arrived and brought more diapers. And went home and says, okay, those are gone. Help restock. And so I was able to restock. And when I came down to New Orleans a week and a half ago, I took a pickup truckload of diapers to Laplace. And as I was unloading them, there was a lady there saying, I'm looking for diapers. And they didn't have any. And I arrived at the time that she was there looking for them. And it was just fun to see how God did that. And I'm not saying you need to go out and collect diapers. That's what God had put on my heart through my prayer time and through the needs that he had made known to me. But I believe when we pray, God says it's time to act at some point in that prayer time. And I don't know what that looks like for you, because I don't know your neighbors. I don't know your workplace. I don't know the places that you interact with people at. But I believe that you will find that you are renewed through prayer as you listen to God and you act. Because there's something refreshing about knowing that you're walking in the will of God. And that's the final part of this. Renewed as you pray. We're renewed as we pause. We're renewed as we request. We're renewed as we act, but we're also renewed as we yield. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I think one of the greatest tools in today's culture is social media. I also believe it's one of the most dangerous tools in today's culture. And that's kind of the way tools are. Again, I've been spent the last week with running chainsaws in the rain, and if you don't know what you're doing, that's a pretty dangerous thing. But I would not have wanted to do that without the chainsaws. It's a great tool if you know how to use it and you use it correctly. And I believe social media is the same way. And when I think about this yielding, I think so often social media gives us the opportunity to respond to people in ways that are not seasoned with grace, in ways that are not beneficial. It kind of creates this atmosphere that we're all experts. And we'll let you know that I know what I'm talking about. And so when we learn to be renewed as we pray, we learn to yield to God. That's part of that model prayer that we read in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I have to ask, how is God's will done in heaven? I would have to suspect that it's done perfectly. I mean, it's His dwelling. It's His home. It's His place. What He says goes. At least when I grew up, that was the way it was at our household. It was Dad's place. What He said went. And it didn't matter whether I liked it or didn't like it. He was in charge. And it wasn't in a mean way. He was a very loving and kind man. And I think when we recognize that Jesus asks us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, He's asking us to pray that His will would be done perfectly. That requires you and I to yield. And for many of us, that's tough. I think the American culture has trained us that, well, independence is what we value the most. And to be dependent on God, well, we struggle with that a little bit. To yield to Him, we know that that's right. We know that we ought to, but in everything, well, I'm not so sure about that. And if we seek to be renewed, I believe the greatest tool in renewal is to learn to pray, to spend time with God and allow Him. I believe that's what that passage I began with out of Isaiah teaches us. That when we rest in Him, that we find that we can be renewed. For me, that's prayer's the heart of that. It's my communication with God. It's my time of reading Scripture. It's my time of listening to His Word, to His Spirit. The question really comes to, what does that mean to you and I tomorrow? It's easy for me to come up on a Sunday and to talk about being renewed as you pray and to give you these nice 4 points that you pause, you request, you act, and you yield. But then Monday comes. And you're not around your Christian family. You say, what does that look like? And I ask, what do you need to work on in order to be renewed as you pray? And I think for many people, that answer will be a little bit different. Some may be really good at pausing, maybe a little too good at pausing. I'm one of those. I like to overthink everything. And I don't like to start something until I have every scenario worked out in my mind, and so that there's no surprises. The problem with that is Well, you can't really work out every scenario so there's no surprises. So sometimes I pause too much. But there are a lot of people I know that really don't seem to have a pause built into their life at all. And they'll just jump into something. They'll hear a good idea. They'll read about it on Facebook. They'll hear it somewhere and they'll think, we ought to do that. And they'll start. And, you know, 2 days later, think, uh-oh, now what? So maybe you need to work on the pause. Maybe it's the request. James says, and he says, we pray and we don't receive what we ask for because we ask with selfish motives. Maybe we need to ask God to help us examine the requests that we do make. Are our requests based around us? Or are requests primarily based around being more effective in proclaiming Jesus? Perhaps as you seek to be renewed, you need to say, I know there's things I need to do. I put off. And God says it's time to act. Perhaps for you it's the yielding part. Saying, God, your will is what's important. I surrender. Those are some tough words for most of us to say. I surrender. God, you're in charge. I said earlier that I'd have some homework at the end, and I asked this question, what could happen if you were to pray throughout your neighborhood? If you were to spend time in your neighborhood deliberately pausing, requesting, acting, and yielding. For me, one of the most powerful things that I can do when I visit and help with the disaster relief is to do this very thing. The cleanup's necessary, and I involve myself in that. But I pray. And I've developed a prayer guide, and I'll have these in the back. And I'm losing papers. But I call it a prayer walk guide, and it's really about walking through your neighborhood or driving through your neighborhood and parking at different places. And up in northern Indiana, we go out and walk a lot, and we don't have the heat and humidity down here that kind of makes, for me at least, walking just for fun not fun. Just spending time in your neighborhood, pausing, looking, saying, God, what do I see? And allow what you see to direct your request. Just driving through today, it's like, well, there's still a lot of damage. There's still a lot of people that aren't back in their homes. There's a lot of things that I can observe, that I can pause and say, God, help them. Whatever the situation is, my requests are molded by my pausing. But don't forget to ask God, is there something I can do? Praying's a great thing. But oftentimes God says, okay, now here's how to help them. And in all of it, ask God that your neighborhood would be yielded to Him. And so this prayer guide that I have, it talks a little bit about just the general concept of prayer walking and walking through your neighborhood. The backside kind of really focuses in on that pausing. It kind of gives some ideas on how to listen with your ears, your eyes, your mind, your heart, and your spirit, so that as you pause that you can pray effectively. But I would encourage you, whether you're able to do that this afternoon or sometime this week, to put this message into practice. To not only be renewed as you pray, but to go through your neighborhood and ask God to renew your neighborhood as you pray. And I believe that when God's people are renewed, when the struggles of life that have worn us down, even the youth grow tired and weary. And when you live through multiple hurricanes and floodings and the things that are visible to the rest of the world, on top of all of the chaos that life brings, you need to be renewed. And spending time with God is the best way to do that. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that not only loves us, but you seek to renew us daily. You've given us your Spirit, you've given us your Word, you've given us the tools that are necessary for us to be renewed. Father, may we come to you in prayer. May we learn to pause. May we learn to request. May we learn to act. May we learn to yield in a way that renews our spirit, renews our soul, that renews our physical being. And may we live as those who are renewed in such a way that our neighborhoods are renewed, that our church is renewed, that our witness to this community is not just seasoned with grace, but it proclaims Jesus boldly. Father, as we go out today, may we take seriously that great commission, that command to go and make disciples. Father, if there's anyone here or watching online that has not surrendered fully to you, may they do that. May they reach out and find hope in a relationship with the living God. So, Father, today, may we put into practice the things that we've learned, the things that your Word has taught us. May we be renewed as we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.